Alrighty, Rooney. Welcome in, everybody. It is Tuesday, which means it's time for AM Nation Sports Show every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, right here on twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull, as well as on Twitter at AM Nation Pod, and on YouTube, just search Amalgamation Nation. Make sure you hit that sub button. You can also find us on Instagram, it's at AM Nation Pod, and on podcast platforms of choice such as Spotify, Google, Apple Podcast, and more. If you're looking for merch, it's teesprings.com/stores/AMNation-UndeadRedBull, or find it below in the description on twitch.tv/UndeadRebel, on our pinned tweet on Twitter, at AMNationPod, and if you're listening on podcast platforms, it's down below in the description as well. If you want to be a part of the show, you can leave a voicemail or text the show at 815-556-9089. You can do that. You can be a part of the, you can ask us questions about the anime episodes, the sports shows, the gaming shows, or anything else that comes up. Just go ahead and either leave us a voicemail or text the show, 815-556-9089. Said twitch.tv/UndeadRebel is where you watch us Tuesdays and Thursday nights for sports and gaming shows. It's also where you watch a David stream during the week. Make sure you follow and give him a sub as well. If you have Amazon Prime, you do get a free sub a month, so give it to him, please. It's Tuesday. We got a lot of sports stuff to get into. Of course, on the anime watching, booze cruising, Olivia Munn's liking, John Cena's following, hostess with the mostest himself, Ryan Green Machine Ebner. And today, question of the show, because it's cold as fuck everywhere in the United States. It's just fucking unbearably cold, right? It's terrible. So my thought was, favorite winter activity. So when I introduce you, you can go ahead and let me know some of your favorite winter activities. Starting the group, we've got, from North Carolina, Brendan B.K. Kennerly. B.K., how are you?
It's actually not cold here. It got up to 70 today.
Oh, what a piece of shit. All right.
But it's supposed to drop back down to like the high 30s, low 40s. Like tonight, it was like, It was a weird blip. It's strange. So, yeah. Just one day.
Oh, at that, I mean, we're going to get a nice hot heat wave of 30 by the end of the week.
I seen that. I can't wait. All the snow's going to melt. It's going to be great.
We're going to be out in shorts, and BK's going to be like, fuck, I need my jacket.
Oh, yeah, you'll be in Maryland, too. That's going to be cold. That's going to be really cold.
I need my jacket.
You will. You will. What are some of your favorite winter activities, BK?
The basic things. I really like sledding. There was a big hill like right behind my backyard. I used to go with like my buddies all the time. Used to sled that growing up. I really like going out into the snow with the dogs, especially when I moved down to North Carolina, and I got a dog down here, my dog Bruno. Then I moved back up to Maryland while I was working for the Royals and got snow, and he had never seen it before. And so he was freaking out because it was like 2 feet of snow too. So he was just like, wow, like. So it was really fun just to see him for the first time. And then I also like just when it just snows a bunch, I'm just gonna sit there. I'm gonna wear pajama pants and a t-shirt. I'm just play video games a whole bunch, and then like I'll take breaks to go shovel the driveway, and then like I just get back and I just play more video games, just don't take a shower for a few days, just like sitting there in my own sweat from shoveling the driveway and just playing video games. It's just great. It's good stuff.
Holy shit. All right, there you go. That reminds me a lot of being stuck for like 2 days or so at Pete's house because it was so unbearably cold with the guys, and we didn't move. Like, we didn't do shit. We go out and start our cars, and that was about it. And we just go back just to fucking didn't do shit. Also joining me today, Pete Tahee Argus. Pete, how are you, and what are some of your favorite winter activities?
Well, I'm doing all right there, Ryan. I mean, yeah, we are, you know, unlike BK, you know, we are actually, you know, part of this, you know, nationwide frozen tundra that we have here right now. Yeah, Molly and I actually...
Too, nerd.
What? What was that?
I said, how's that cost of living too, nerd?
Yeah, you know what? Whatever, okay? Yes, me and my wife regret leaving North Carolina. We think about it basically every day during the winter, okay? Trust me, BK, we know it was probably a mistake, okay? But going back to my favorite winter activities, I think like just either watching football or playing football in the snow, I just think is a ton of fun. That's something like growing up was always, you know, a lot of fun. And then watching a football game that snow is just, I don't know, there's something magical about it.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to that. And then I would just like say staying in, just watching movies, just trying to be as warm as possible, you know, have some popcorn, you know, and then look at the snow. Just looking at the snow is like, I don't know, it just like instead of looking outside and just seeing everything that's like dead outside because of how cold it is, it's nice to look at, you know, the snow.
It's a good point. Yeah. Instead of just the dead trees, it's dead trees with snow.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Yes.
It's a good point. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more
yeah,
scenery.
That's true.
I dig that. I also love the point about football games in the snow. Yeah, those are good, especially to watch them. They're really cool. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rounding out the crew this evening from twitch.tv/UndeadRebel. David, how are you, and what are your favorite winter activities?
I'm doing pretty good, and I guess some activities would be definitely football. We used to play football when I was in high school. All of us could go to the park nearby in Chicago and hang out and play football there. That was kind of like our hangout area. So we literally lived at that park. It was either football during winter, softball during basically any summertime event. So that's basically we just lived at that park. And then for some other stuff, I used to go sledding at the lakefront, snowboarding. There's a big mountain on Montrose Avenue, so that's where I used to go sledding. And then I started snowboarding there as well. Not much else other than that. Probably some snowball fights here and there with some of the friends. But as I got older, kind of like how BK says, kind of just watching Duke just run around in the backyard. I mean, so like my deck is literally filled with snow.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like about like 5 or 6 stairs to jump down. Duke literally just jumps off from the deck straight into the pile of snow, just face first right into the snow pile. Doesn't even take the stairs to just not exist and just face first. It's kind of cute. Awesome, because he just loves the snow. And he wants to go outside like every 30 minutes, so just to play in the snow. I know he doesn't have to go to the bathroom, he just wants to play in the snow. Downside is I gotta fucking dry him off every 30 minutes, so it's like, nah, relax.
No, not this time. Like it's this is, god damn it, Duke, you've already gone out 5 times, you gotta relax. Fuck.
But yeah, he loves it. But yeah, that's pretty much what it's been.
It's pretty dope, pretty dope. Molly Holly says her favorite winter activities, Pete, are going out to get ice cream when it's single digits outside. Can you confirm that?
Yeah. Oh, I definitely can. We actually just got back from getting ice cream. Well, the main reason we got ice cream is I'm giving that up for Lent. So this is my last day of freedom. So I made sure to get double scoops.
What flavor? What flavors did you go with?
So there's this local place here in Cleveland called Mitchell's Ice Cream, and
shout out
I get
to Mitchell's.
Shout out to Mitchell's for great ice cream. But I got banana cream pie. It's so good. It
sounds good.
It's so good. Yes.
Very waffle nice. Cone? Waffle cone or sugar cone?
No, I got it in a bowl today, just so I can get more. More of it. I want it as much as possible.
You don't have to eat it as fast when it's out of a bowl. You can always take your time and enjoy the twist, enjoy the ice cream a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I was trying to make that last as long as possible. And as soon as I threw it out, I told Molly, I was like, I should just lick that bowl. And that was a mistake. So
Elaine also
the bowl and then just left it by a bedside table just to really mess with you.
That would have been bad. That would have been bad. Yeah.
Likes his cream pies.
That's what Junior just said. I was like, yikes. Woo! Some people that I know a few people that didn't know what that was, and they were grown adults, and I had to teach them, and that was crazy. Crazy. Elaine also says that she likes Mitchell's best butter pecan ice cream. I don't know.
It's gross.
Now she says, damn, Pete, I now need to drive to Cleveland to get ice cream. And there you go. There you go, Pete. Way to get it going.
So worth it.
My, I guess, favorite winter activity is sledding. Yeah, sledding's the shit. I love that. Snowball fights were always good as a kid. Pete's honorable mention there with playing football in the snow. Yes, I do remember playing and Pete being there. And we had a group with my brother. That was when my brothers were there. Remember, were you there when my brother got his tooth ripped out? Were you there for that?
I think so.
Yeah. And there was just blood all over the ice. He was little. It was like his baby teeth still. So, like, it was cool. It wasn't as bad. But there was blood all over the place. I think that's when our buddy Jack went to tackle Pete. Didn't realize how fast he was. Went to reach out for him, and his fingers got caught. So that's why his fingers are always bent a little bit now, because you can't fix them. They're just, you know, they're just there. Some good stuff. That's why I always remember playing football and stuff for that. And also, getting a good fire going. Get some hot chocolate, put on whatever you want to watch, and just zone out. I did hear somebody say, they're like, I swear to God, if I wake up again and it's freezing again, I'm just putting the Christmas tree back up. I'm over this. This sucks.
I mean, is it wrong if my Christmas tree is technically still up?
No. I won't judge you. I won't judge you.
All right.
I will not judge you for that. There it is. There it is. Boy.
Well, he's having 70-degree weather. It doesn't count for him. His opinion doesn't matter.
It is pretty warm. I hope you enjoy the warmth. hope you enjoy it. I'm freezing my balls off over here. Let's stick on the ice. Let's get to the NHL updates first. I just want to point out the Hawks' first line has looked really good as of late with Kane, Suter, and DeBrincat coming back. They've just been really electric. Kane has 22 points in 16 games, 7 goals, and 15 assists. I believe he's third right now in points, just behind the deadly duo out there in Edmonton. So that's pretty dope. Patrick Kane kicking ass. Like, what, I'm thinking of John McCain, for Christ's sakes, Jesus. But he's doing good. Kaner's doing really well. And you like to see the that electricity from that first line. And the Hawks are also 7-5-4 with 18 points. That was as of yesterday. They won yesterday in overtime. So they should be at 8-5-4 now with 20 points, I believe. Fifth in the Central. And they've won 5 out of their last 6. Good to see, man. Good to see the Hawks are playing well. It's a little bit of a surprise, but I'll take it. I'll take the happy surprise. BK, what's going on with your Washington Capitals?
Right now, it's 3-1. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. 3-10. I was about to tip over on the chair there. That would have been funny live.
But that's what you get for being warm.
They've hit a little cold streak here. They've dropped their last 4 games, and during that time, they also had a few games postponed because of a COVID outbreak. So hopefully they can get back on the winning ways tonight, which, you know, if not on wood, it's looking good.
Ooh. How about your man there, Agent OOV?
Oh, the great eight. Oh, yeah. Shit. Let's talk about it. Anyway, currently sits at 7th on the all-time goals list at 7-11. He was looking to pass Phil Esposito in 6th with 7-17, and I think Brett Hull is above him in 5th, which he can also probably reach here. I think Brett Hull's around 7-24, if I remember correctly. So, Ovi's going to be passing some more people this year, and it's going to be great. He's easily the best Caps player ever, and so it's just been a privilege to watch him play all these years.
Of course, yeah. Dude's a stud. Absolute unit. So this is where, after hockey, you know, we transition. We transition into BK taking it to the pitch. And I was sitting there, and BK brought up on an episode, he's like, oh, yeah, one day we're going to have some music and shit. It's going to be cool. So I fucked around with it, and now there's this official intro for BK taking it to the pitch. So for the first time, the new music for BK taking it to the pitch.
It's time for BK to take you to the pitch.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe, BK.
I love it. It's like late 80s, early 90s, like style. Like, it reminds me of something I would have woken up on, you know, Saturday morning. Like, you know, I'm having just like my Frosted Flakes or Honey Nut Cheerios, in the pajamas. And that comes on right before American Gladiators, and I'm just getting all pumped. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
There so, you go.
Solid. Here you go, Junior. Here's to the pitch segment for you. And Frankie, by the way. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Frank.
Arsenal bounced back with a solid 4-2 win over Leeds the other day. It was a very exciting game. Abba, in his first game back, he had some personal things going on with his mother. She had an illness, and so he was actually out of the team there for a few games. Probably part of the reason why Arsenal lost. But he came back, had a hat trick. It was great. The only disappointing thing was Arsenal was up 4-2-0. And then Leeds kind of came back and got the two goals, partially because Mikel Arteta, manager there for Arsenal, put in Willian, who's absolutely fucking awful. He's just not good at soccer anymore. He just doesn't run half the time. He just looks old, looks like he's lost a step. And so this is like a plea to him if he happens to ever watch this, unlikely, or listen to it. Just don't play him ever again. I understand that we got him in the offseason on a free transfer. We signed him to a 3-year contract, which we shouldn't have done for a 32-year-old winger. And we're trying to justify that by playing him, and even though he's just fucking absolute dog doo-doo, just stop. The team just gets worse when he plays. So please, Mikel, just sit him on the bench with his little afro there, and he can just take it out and enjoy himself right there on the sidelines. He can have a great time. To Ryan's team here, the Wolves, they bounce back as well with a 2-1 win over Southampton, but not without controversy, which has kind of been the through line for Premier League this year. Nothing of the Wolves doing here. It was VAR controversy once again. The Wolves player essentially was right there just outside the box and just kind of he kicked it at the goal. He honestly just kicked it as hard as he could. And the Southampton player kind of turned his body so the ball didn't hit him like in the nards where it would like, you know, hurt. Mm-hmm. And when he turned, the ball hit him in his arm. And so they call that a handball. Which is like, you're supposed to call handballs if your hand's not in a natural position. Essentially, if you're just being an asshole, you know, then you call a handball. They didn't call it on the field at the time. The referee didn't. But VAR called it instead. And it's just not being used properly. And I think you're getting this a lot, too, in the NFL game as well. Mm-hmm. Where the rules are almost, like, too strict to a certain degree. There has to be almost, like, some leniency. You need to, like, have the human element with the ref who's saying, like, all right, like, going back to what we were saying when you, like, hit a guy in the head, like, you know, where it's like, all right, like, you know, some guys aren't assholes. And it's the same thing with, like, handballs. Like, you don't mean to. And so I think that's something we need to work on with sports is kind of we got technology so great, and that's good that we were like, oh, yeah. Like, I remember before we didn't have instant replays or challenges and all that stuff. But now, like, we do, and I feel like we've gone – too far technology wise that we almost need to like take a step back and like, hey, wasn't it really just great when we could just kind of get mad at a human making a mistake instead of like the computer just being so finite and precise? Because it's been like that as well with offsides where like a guy's literal, if his fucking nose is past the defender, the VAR will call an offsides. So if he has a giant fucking schnoz, he will be called offside and they'll disallow a goal. Man, it's kind of ridiculous.
Slap Nugget better not play soccer then. Kid's got a big nose.
Big but nose. How do you guys feel on that in terms of like technology kind of breaking up the pace of play and you know and kind of just changing refereeing in general here with all the big sports?
Well, that's one big reason why I'm really against the whole they want to kind of go towards an automated strike zone. I don't think that makes any sense. I think that takes a big piece of baseball out of it. You know, having the umpires in there and that human error is an element of it. So I think that in certain situations it does make sense. I get it. You know, the NFL replay system has gotten so in depth now where, and they still can't get it right anyway. So I think it's needed in some areas, but obviously in this situation, you know, just with their nose being over, that's pretty wild. Poor Nick, my brother, with his big nose. That would suck.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, for, you know, sports and, you know, general, like when it comes to technology, I think it's almost, yeah, it is taking up, you know, part of the game, you know, and I feel like, especially for the NFL or, you know, I don't know, I mean, this might be something stupid, but I'll just throw it out there. Maybe there's a time limit. Like, if we're going to take, if it's a close play, you know, and especially like, you know, BK, you mentioned, you know, this dude with his nose. Like, if we're going to look at it for so long, why don't we just keep what it is on the field? Like, I mean, if we're probably going to come to that decision anyway, and especially, like, you think about it for the NFL, sometimes it's like, okay, we know that it is a turnover, but where's the ball placed at? And it takes like 10 minutes for them to figure out where's the ball placed at. So I feel like sometimes, you know, technology can be a hindrance, you know, when it comes to, you know, sports. But yeah, I mean, Ryan, to your point about the strike zone thing, I mean, hey, if they want to like automated strike zones, you might as well just have robots as umps at this point. Like, I mean, what's the point then?
David, do you think that your thoughts, I guess, on replay and where it's at right now in sports?
It's definitely been changing over the course of the years, and they keep changing stuff, and NFL is testing out stuff. Like last year was the pass interference flags, which were non-existent only because of playoffs that happened the year before. And they got rid of it this year. So definitely something needs to be looked into more, and like what could be challenged and what could be reviewed and stuff like that. And when it comes to technology, obviously it's going to get better and more advanced to where you're always going to have that debate, right? And it's always going to be that in baseball, because we see the replay, we see that it's a horrible call. Like, we know it's a ball, or easily could tell it's a strike, but the ump has to judge that, right? Whereas if automated strike zone, it would be able to tell instantly if it's a strike or ball. I think at some point in the future, it probably will turn to that. Is it going to happen right away? Probably not. But in 20, 30 years from now, it probably could be.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, when you're talking about that, you might as well have the players might as well have sensors on them to see if they get tagged or something from the glove. And then, you know, we're talking futuristic baseball now, you know? And the same goes for like everything, right? So basketball with the flopping, you know, and all that stuff that could go on with there. To be honest, that should be almost reviewable sometimes, because, you know, they're getting a little ridiculous sometimes with their flops. I know they kind of cracked down on it a little bit, right? But it kind of blew up for a while. But overall, the officiating and the replay stuff has gotten better. But because our technology keeps getting better, everyone's always going to have an opinion to change it, and they're going to want to try to go with technology. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it's going to go, sadly. So that's going to change how sports rules go, especially because you got to think about some rules could still potentially be around when the sport was invented over 100 years ago. So it's got to evolve with time. So that's the only thing I would probably suggest.
It's a good point. I think Junior said it needed to be a combination of both, which is a good point as well. BK, anything else on the pitch?
Nope. You know, we have more Champions League and Europa League, but we're going to talk that next week, because we just got to the round of 16, so mm-hmm. there'll be more stuff to talk about next week.
All right, let's move on to the NBA. Anthony Davis re-aggravated an Achilles injury the other day. It looks like he'll be out 2 to 3 weeks at least at bare minimum, which means I think the Lakers, you won't see him back until after the All-Star break, at least, just to really make sure he's good 100% to go. I'm sure Lakers fans were very nervous there for a little bit, because if Anthony Davis goes down, boy, oh boy, I don't know if Bron's carrying the Lakers like that. I mean, damn, dude's getting old.
Gonna have to now.
Yeah, I mean, he can carry him for this little bit, month and a half, but damn, can't do it all the way. So Anthony Davis, hopefully, will be good to come back. The Bulls' Denzel Valentine dropped his debut album on Valentine's Day. That's right. I'm gonna be honest, I haven't checked it out yet. Pete, have you checked out Denzel Valentine's album?
No, I didn't even know about this until the pre-show. So no, I've not checked it out. That's good to Denzel. You know, I was gonna roast him for doing an album because of like his stats, but he's averaging more per game this year than his career average. So I will not have any hate towards Denzel Valentine.
That a boy. Just he's like, you know what, you're balling out right now. It's cool.
Yeah, whatever, man. Dude, 8 points a game, baby.
He's got to sell the album, right? He has to have increase his stats point. So he gets the record sales. Bam. Release an album every year, then, if that's the case.
Yup.
Right? If I wasn't worried about copyrights, I would have started playing it, but I didn't want to do that. That would piss me off. Out of all the things I can get copyrighted for, not the anime intros I've used in the past snippets of. No. for Denzel Valentine's fucking Denzel album. Denzel Valentine. I'd be like, this is bullshit. The Wizards, John Wall returned to Washington for the first time since joining the Rockets. They did a tribute video to John Wall and his return to D.C. Beal and the Wizards overcame John Wall's efforts to beat the Rockets 131-119. BK, your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they did a kind of like a nice tribute, like thank you, John video. It's just, it's weird when you do those when there's no fans there. I feel like it loses that little oomph. Mm-hmm. Just because you don't have all those people thanking him. And because DC really does love John Wall. I mean, 5-time All-Star for the Wizards. And honestly, like, had a lot of consternation, Wizards fans, with having the number one overall pick. Because it was like, I mean, I remember vividly drafting Kwame Brown and how awful he was. And it left such a bad taste in our mouths where it's just like, oh my gosh, like, this is going to go terribly. Like, this guy's projected to be really good, but it's just going to go bad somehow. And it didn't. The thing is, too, he also gave back to the community. He did a lot of community outreach, was volunteering a lot with the Boys and Girls and all that stuff. So he did so much, and I just wish the fans could have been there to thank him. And I honestly wish the Wizards could have done more for him front office-wise, because they really freaking squandered it the beginning of his career here. Let's see, because I have some players that the Wizards drafted either the same year as Wall, like only first-round draft picks. I'm only including one second round because the guy's really good right now. So first-round draft picks, to name a few. Jan Vesely, garbage. So Otto Porter Jr., he was drafted third overall, hasn't made a single All-Star game. So awesome. Gross. Pick. Kelly Oubre Jr., he was first round, 15th overall, hasn't made an All-Star game. Chris Singleton. Jerry and Grant. Also, the Wizards drafted Jordan Clarkson in the second round, but wanted to trade him immediately to the Lakers. So that's freaking awesome. So part of it is, though, I feel bad for John Wall, and just because the end of his career here, at least in D.C., it was injury laden. And I'm just glad that we did get him, and that, you know, he did make 5 All-Star games and was a fixture in the community, and do wish him the best. And hopefully, when fans come back and he comes back to DC again, they can almost kind of do almost like a round two of the tribute. I think that would be really great for him, and he absolutely deserves it.
100%. Charles Barkley spoke to Waddle and Sylvia on ESPN 1000 and said why he was explaining why he puts Tom Brady over Michael Jordan as the GOAT. And I want to touch upon two things before I get into his quote, or one thing before I get into his quote. The GOAT discussion is so overdone now. Like, just every day, it's so fucking overdone. It's overdone on Fox Sports 1. It's overdone on ESPN content. It's overdone everywhere. I'm tired of it. But Charles Barkley said, quote, "It's hard for me to put anybody above Michael, but Michael was always going to be the best player 4 out of 7 games," he said. "But the difference in every time Tom Brady played a football game, it was a game 7. I never thought about it like that. I mean, you think about that. Every football game in the playoffs is a game 7. He is correct in the sense of that it's obviously win or go home every time in football. That is true. We don't have a series, obviously. But Michael Jordan did so much more than just own people in the 90s, right? And what he did for basketball and everything else and the reach that it got to expanding overseas and everything like that. And I thought when The Last Dance came out, we could stop this stupid shit like this. When people just say dumb, dumb things that shouldn't have been said, but you say it because somebody's got to click on it. Someone's got to listen to it. Pete, Sir Barkley, saying Brady over Jordan.
I just don't get it. Like, what are we doing here? Like, they're not in the same sport, okay? Like, why is this a comparison? And also, like, it's basketball, football. Like, Michael, I mean, it's, okay, basketball is so much more of an individual game. Like, football is so much more of a team sport. Not to diss Brady whatsoever, but, like, we're not comparing the same thing. Like, I just don't get that. I mean, they're both, you know, the quote-unquote goats of their sports. Like, both of them are. I mean, if you want to talk about a Game 7, let's just talk about how Michael never got to a Game 7 when it came to the finals, if we want to talk Game 7. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like Barkley just wants to say ridiculous comments to say ridiculous comments, you know, really at this point.
100%. David, your thoughts on Barkley saying Brady over Jordan?
I mean, Pete almost basically stole exactly what I was going to say. Like, Jordan's never played in a Game 7 finals, though.
It's a good point.
When he's never been there. So, in my opinion, if you use that statistic, he's like, hey, Brady needs to go all the way to 7, where Jordan's like, nah, I can finish it early. So, I mean, it's hard to compare both of them. Obviously, Jordan is the GOAT, in my opinion. Of the two, I would still say Jordan would probably be, I would see Jordan as a GOAT higher, just because, you know, basketball is almost a dominant sport. Like, Jordan literally could win those championships. Like, he's the one that wins those championships, right? Yeah, I'm not going to say Tom Brady doesn't win his, but football is such more of a team sport and needs so many pieces to fall into place perfectly. You know, like, even from, like, winning a Super Bowl with your kicker, you know? You know, like, was Tom Brady out there kicking the football? No. So, you know, things like that, to where you need your, yeah, he may have helped move the ball down, but you still have to kick it. You know, your defense still had to, you know, win the game for you. There's a lot of aspect in there that goes in there. Whereas Jordan's on both sides, you know, playing offense and defense. He's just more athletic, per se. And I think when we get into that conversation when we had before about the GOAT, I think overall Tom Brady is a great player, but he's not the most athletic player in football. He's right. Just a great quarterback at his position, right? Mm-hmm. If we go, like, you know, things of that, like, he's a great minded, you know, and stuff like that. He knows all that. But that's the main thing. Like, when you think of the GOAT, they're always great at their strategy. They have the best mind for the game, the knowledge for the game. And that's what makes them considered as a GOAT, because they know what to do in a split of an instinct without really reacting. Mm-hmm. Like, they just know. And that's just it. And that's what makes them so great. And that's why they're both GOATs in their own categories. But when you compare them, it's kind of hard. And you have to say, well, Michael's probably the higher GOAT.
Right. I mean, I don't even know if I wouldn't even put Brady on my Mount Rushmore of GOATs. Like, I wouldn't do it. You know, like, I put Michael on my Mount Rushmore of GOATs. But I wouldn't even get to Brady at that point. BK, your thoughts there on Charles Barkley insulting Michael Jordan.
Oh, what does Charles Barkley always say? Crazy knucklehead. Like,
that's just terrible.
What are you thinking? Just, yeah, terrible knucklehead. Just, like, you know, lay off the pre-show drinks there. You know, when they're hanging out, just, like, just, you know, just chill out a little bit, calm down, take a few breathers, maybe have a nice cheeseburger, like, to center yourself before you make really stupid comments. And I completely agree. This whole GOAT nonsense is just getting blown out of proportion. But I think part of the reason that Fox Sports, ESPN, all these fuckards do it, shouldn't say that, I'm sorry, fuckheads,
there
do it is because it gets people to talk, and it gets people to click, it gets people to listen, it gets people to, you know, tune in and kind of collaborate and all that crap. And so that's why they do it. And I remember when it was 2000, or like about to turn the year to 2000, and ESPN did like their top athletes of the century. Michael Jordan was number one. So, like, the top five here, like, real quick for you, because I looked it back up. Like, I remember I had it, like, on my wall as a kid. Michael Jordan, number one. Babe Ruth, number two. Muhammad Ali, three. Mm-hmm. Jim Brown, four. Wayne Gretzky, five. So that's where
Jim Brown ahead of Wayne Gretzky? That was, what a disrespect in hockey. Sorry.
True.
Wayne Gretzky's the fucking GOAT.
I mean, Jim Brown was, like, really good, though. He averaged, like, the most yards per carry, like, back in the day there. And just
Wayne Gretzky, do you want to get in this argument?
I'm on the side of Wayne Gretzky as well, but for perspective here, I am. Now, that's a good point, though, BK.
I'm just saying, don't hang on Jim Brown.
Oh, well, of course.
That's all I'm saying.
He's a GOAT.
About a Cleveland Browns player. Baltimore Ravens fan saying that about a Cleveland Brown player. So, like, put that in perspective real quick. Let's take a step back.
Now,
that's all I'm saying.
you're correct though that when you look at that and you look at those numbers and like, okay, so just are we just saying that Brady jumped all of it? Like he jumped it all, and then you're gonna add players. We could add players now: Serena Williams, Tiger Woods, that are also moving up into their own rights into those GOAT ranks. I guess are we just gonna? Well, Brady just jumps them all. I don't think so.
Absolutely not. And one thing too here that I think that like people. And we get this a lot in American sports, and I'm going to sound like a big soccer fan right here, is because we have playoffs here. They don't have that anywhere else in the world. It's like you have the regular season, and then the winner of that wins the whole kit and caboodle. Like I said, Premier League, you play every team twice. That's the winner. And so regular season matters even more. And the thing is with Brady, he doesn't have the most dominant regular season numbers. He doesn't. Pepe's beat him out. A-Rod just beat him out. Done. We'll get into that's a whole other thing for like a future podcast. But like, in my opinion, if you want to talk about GOAT, okay, where's his numbers to back it up? Because if it's a GOAT thing, then like he needs the domination over other people, like specifically stat wise, because like this is a team game. So like winning takes a team of people, you know, especially footballers. 22 dudes, 22, not even including special teamers, takes a lot of people. So the fact that all these morons want to call him like the GOAT and praise him and kiss his dick, good for you. Well, you love sucking on the cock and balls. Awesome. I don't. I'm a realist.
Holy shit. Well, there it is. BK still, as this week continues, does not like Tom Brady, everybody. Just does not. But yeah, it is true. The GOAT conversation is just really drawn out. And like, I get it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that like when I'm sitting here hunkering down, like, damn, I really need to think of content for this week, that I wouldn't be like, hey, you know what? Let's fuck it. Let's do it. We're going to talk about the GOATs. That's fine. But like, not all the fucking time. You know, that's the topic. That's it. That would be it. It would have to be a breakdown of the GOATs, of what we consider the GOATs of each sport, right? Wayne Gretzky is a great example. Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Your idea is, what is your route, your Mount Rushmore?
And yeah, that's of sports. Podcast. What is it? You know, people talk about Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi, for a lot of people, is on their Mount Rushmore. Understandably so. If you don't obviously pay attention to soccer, you're probably not going to think about that. Wayne Gretzky should be on your probably up there on your Mount Rushmore. Dude was fucking dominant. But if you don't give a fuck about hockey, you're probably not going to think about it. But every motherfucker better have Michael Jordan on their Mount Rushmore, because everybody loved Michael Jordan. God, I hate the disrespect of Michael Jordan. It bothers me so. Yeah, fuck him too. She's butthurt because he couldn't fucking win in the 90s. Fuck him. Piece of shit. Oh. Piece of shit.
Get it. Get it.
I got it. I know some things been going down in the NBA, right? So in Pete's neck of the woods up there in Cleveland, the Cavaliers decided, hey, we don't want to we're gonna trade Andre Drummond, right? We're gonna move on, and we're gonna do things a little bit differently. We're gonna basically the way they're doing it, it's pretty stupid. He goes out there, he warms up with the team, he does all of that. And then he goes and just changes in the street clothes and sits there, right? There's that way of doing it, right? Publicly saying, we're going to, until we find a trade partner for you, this is what we're going to do. You could do it the Detroit Pistons way, which Blake Griffin, which has basically said, okay, you want to leave, we want you to leave, just go home until we find a partner. Don't even show up, just go home until we find somebody to trade you with or buy you out or whatever, right? So Draymond Green spoke after the game and had a lot of thoughts. So it's going to tie into, because then after we listen here to Draymond Green's comments, we're going to get into Lane's voicemail as well. So I'll start with Draymond's comments here.
To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back, and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him is bullshit. Because when James Harden asked for a trade, and essentially dogged it, I don't think there was no surprise or no, you know, there's no one's going to fight back that James was dogging it his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer, and he's not good in someone's locker room, and he's the issue. And we've seen situations of Harrison Barnes getting pulled off the bench. You know, DeMarcus Cousins finding out that he's traded in an interview after the All-Star game, and we continue to let this happen. But I got fined for stating my opinion of what I thought should happen with another player. But teams can come out and continue to say, oh, we're trading guys, we're not playing you. And yet we're to stay professional. At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional. And if not, his career is on the line. At some point, this league has to protect the players from embarrassment like that. You know, we talk all of this stuff about you can't do this, you can't say that publicly. If you say that publicly, you're fine. Anthony Davis got fined, I think, $100,000 or something like that for demanding a trade publicly. But you can say Andre Drummond's getting traded publicly, and we're looking to trade him publicly, and he's to stay professional and just deal with it. But then when Kyrie Irving say, oh, my mental health is off, everybody go crazy about that too. Do you not think that affects someone mentally? As much as we put into this game to be great, to come out here and be in shape, to produce for fans every single night, and most importantly, to help your team win, do you think that doesn't affect someone mentally? But as players, we're told to, no, you can't say that, you can't say this, but teams can? It goes along the same lines of when everyone wants to say, oh, man, that young guy can't figure it out. But no one wants to say the organization can't figure it out. At some point, the players must be respected in these situations, and it's ridiculous, and I'm sick of seeing it. Y'all have a great night. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
So that was Draymond Green's comments, right, on the entire situation going on right now in the NBA. And then here is Elaine's voicemail on the matter.
Hey guys, it's Elaine. I was just calling because I was curious what your guys' take was on Draymond Green's post-game presser the other night, where he talked about the double standard of when a player wants a trade and when the team wants to trade them, and how they're treated by management, by media, fans, all of that. I personally totally agree with him. It's definitely a huge double standard. You know, you have to be super professional as an athlete, and then they decide to when they decide to trade you, you have to listen to them drag your name through the mud. If you don't perform properly, they essentially villainize you. I think it does need to change some sort of breather time when they decide they're going to trade a player, you know, get everyone on the same page. And when they actually trade the player, you know, don't let media break the news to them, because I have done that. Did not know that a player didn't know they were traded. And then I texted them and they were on their honeymoon, which I also did not know. But they didn't know. They didn't know that they had been traded. So I just am curious what your guys' thoughts are about that. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Elaine, for calling into the show. BK, I'll start with you here. Your thoughts on, I mean, what Draymond basically said, calling out the differences here and how things are handled between players and owners.
I do agree with the standard. I don't think it's fair to players, and I know that sounds weird for me because I've kind of said that the players almost have too much power. But at the same time, I feel like I can almost play both sides on this a little bit, mm-hmm. where players shouldn't be made to feel bad for wanting out of a situation if it's really bad. But at the same time, I also don't feel like they should to give up because, like, all right, so if I want out of my job and then I just don't show up anymore, like, I don't get paid. And, like, that looks bad. And that affects, like, my future employment because, like, you know, like, resume, references, mm-hmm. all that good stuff. So it's like, I do get both sides, but I do think it's shitty when teams like try to manipulate the situation, and especially like and with the media as well, be like, oh yeah, this guy's not a team player. So that's where it needs to be handled internally better, which Elaine was referencing there. That's like, hey, like, if we're honestly, we're looking, trying to trade you, like, are you happy? We still want you to play, you know, because we want you to get your minutes and, you know, keep improving, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't want to, we'll sit you fine. Like, and that's just part of it where good front offices, like, will do that, in my opinion. Like, you know, they'll take you aside. Like, this is what we're thinking. This is what we can do. And try to make this work for you. Good front offices will do that. Bad front offices will not do that. And also, shout out to Elaine for having like the most calm and like succinct voicemail. To like, especially like myself, like I'm just like loud and I just go like high, low, and I'm all over the place. She's just like, and it's just very calm. It's very relaxing. I'll give credit for that.
Yes, indeed, David. Your thoughts on Draymond Green's discussion that he's, you know, what he brought up.
It definitely is like a double-edged sword, right? Like, we criticize like players and stuff, but at the same time, kind of have to, right? So if a player says he doesn't want to be here anymore, it's almost like us in the everyday world, kind of like BK says, that's like me applying for a job, right? A new job, and then like they call my boss for like a reference, like my current boss, right? And it's like, oh, so you don't want to work here anymore. And, you know, that's like how it is, right? And you got to think of it from that perspective. And that's like, you know what, that looks really, I mean, you want to do that, but it also looks shitty for your current employer, because like, if you don't get the job, well, you're still here. And I was like, oh, I just kind of fucked up, I just fucked myself, right? That's from the player perspective. And then when you're the employer, right, what they're doing is, to be honest, the media can make up whatever they want. So I can't really say the media could say whatever they want and spin whatever story or context just to get like news, like what we mentioned earlier about like the goat talk. Well, that creates everyone chit chat, right? So for all I know, the media could just be bullshit or, you know, like fake news, but you know, who gives a shit about that stuff? But right. You know, they're gonna just say, like, I could literally just say like one full sentence and they'll literally just take out like one or two words and be like, well, this kind of means this context, right? Like, oh, he's not a team player. But he could have been like, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, right? So I can't really go with media, but from the office perspective, sitting the players, the only thing I could think of that's make it reasonable is they don't want him to get hurt, because once he gets hurt, he has no value to be traded, and that doesn't help anybody, the player or them. Obviously, if they're still getting paid, then the end of the day, I think the players are probably disappointed that it didn't work out. I mean, they're on this team for a reason. They built up in relationships and stuff because they wanted to win. And then to be told that you can't play anymore, or, hey, we're going to just trade you, go to a different team, it does suck. But yes, you do still have to be professional, right? That's like saying, let's say like you're working at your current job, but like your company's going to close or something, but you have to like, you're one of those last people that are like, hey, can you work the last 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to have a job, but you're still going to be respectful at your employer, you know? So everyone goes through that. So yes, the players still do have to be professional about it. And I would say, I don't think the team itself is being disrespectful. I think the media takes it out of context, and the fans, all the fans are always going to mock him and be like, oh, he didn't want to be here. That's what takes it out of context. I don't think you see like your GM or people that are actually part of the team or part of the office talking shit about the player. I mean, yeah, you may get an occasional one, which would be like the bad GMs and stuff like that, but you rarely see the actual team talk shit about the player. It's right. The media and the fans and the player, like, you know, that don't really exist, you know, like they're not even part of the inner core, and it's just hearsay. So it's a tough decision, but I think it should stay how it kind of is, though. The players do still have too much power. So like how BK said, like, if I didn't want to go to work, I just don't show up and be like, fuck, I want to go somewhere else. I want a new job. Like, can you just trade my contract, my salary to a different job? You know, that's what it sounds like. But when a player, when the team does it, they're trying to be more respectful about it. And that, you know, they're not really bashing the player. Right. They're just moving on from something that's not working out for them.
Pete, your thoughts.
Well, Draymond went into a lot. You know, with that, I feel like he went into a lot of different conversations, a lot of different situations, and none of them were really the same. If you think about it, I mean, a lot different. I mean, the Harden thing, I think that dates back to like we talked about it on prior podcasts, like with Harden, like the Rockets have gone all in, like to try to help him, and then all of a sudden he just like gives up. So like from their perspective, I can get why they're angry. The Kyrie situation, for organizations, like some people in the front office didn't even know where Kyrie was. I mean, let's just be honest. Okay, so like their situation, and then you know the Draymond thing or the Andre Drummond thing, like. Yeah, they're all different. And then you think about it from the perspective of even, like, baseball players. Like, baseball players have to deal with this all the time, you know, when it comes to, like, trade. Chris Bryant should have been traded 3 years ago based on the rumor. I mean, I don't know, maybe they'll get an extension done. I mean, like, so this happens all the time with players. I think it, boils down to, I think BK touched upon this, it's an organizational thing. Like, the good organizations, you don't hear this kind of crap about because they know how to figure it out. You know, they have that relationship with that player where it's like, you know, if there are trade rumors up, and especially in Drummond's situation, he's not on a great team. He's got kind of a higher salary. He's probably going to try to go to a contender. Like, as an organization, you have to have that open communication. I mean, the Bulls are kind of dealing with that with LaVine right now. I mean, he's been in trade talks for like the last 2 years, and they're going about it, and you're not seeing any rumblings coming out of Chicago. We're like, oh, well, you know, AK, you know, wants to get rid of LaVine, and LaVine's unhappy with, you know, what it is. And then from the point of, like, you know, does a player sit? Does a player play? That's all about open dialogue. I mean, it's open to what the player feels like and what the team feels like from their aspect of it. So do I get Draymond's point? Absolutely. I mean, I understand 100% what he's saying, but, I mean – situations are situations. Let's just, you know, I mean, all of these are so different when it comes to it. But, and yeah, we've talked about this on prior podcasts. NBA, I mean, the players have so much pull, you know, when it comes to it. I mean, yeah, Harden didn't give up, but he basically forced his way out, and he wanted to play with KD and Kyrie. I mean, that's basically what it came down to. So, you know, I'm not going to put out the small violin, you know, for some NBA players, but I get it from his perspective of what he's saying. And I think it just comes down to an organization, you know, that actually knows what they're doing. You know, none of this stuff leaks out.
Right. To Lane's point, the Blue Jackets do it all the time. Again, that goes to being a really good well-ran organization and not being a really well-ran organization. Right. I do get Draymond's point. And, you know, usually I am very, very much pro player all the way. Like, that's just how I feel. In the NBA, though, Pete, your point, it's so many different situations that he touched upon. Like, the James Harden thing. Who's going to feel sorry for making James Harden out to be a villain? He was an asshole, right? He did. So I've been outside of, like, the show group and everything like that. I always have conversations with our buddy Jose when it comes to Deshaun Watson right now. There's a lot of talk about that. And he's like, see, here's the thing. Because I keep telling him, I'm like, yes, it's kind of a give and pull, right? Every situation is kind of different. Every player is different. That's also really important here to remember, right? There's a difference between an Andre Drummond and a LeBron James, a Tom Brady, a Deshaun Watson, or a Mitch Trubisky. There are differences, right? There's differences in every career path you take, right? Certain anchors at ESPN are going to have a little bit more pull and a little bit more say than the lower anchors down at ESPN, right? That's just how it works. It, for better or worse in this society, that is how it goes. So there is the idea of, like, okay, could Deshaun Watson just go out there and then just, like, suck it up, like, on purpose? A James Harden-esque kind of thing. Yeah. That's a possibility to their own. That they would do that, they do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's on the player and the team to get that worked out. But I'm still going to say, if I see a player do something like that, I'm going to say they're a piece of shit. Because you're treating your job like you're doing your job poorly because you want out. And you can't do that, right? None of us could do that at our everyday jobs. You shouldn't do that then. I do understand, obviously, there is a difference between the four of us and an NBA player, right? I mean, millions of dollars is the difference, obviously, and, you know, among other things. But that is the thing, too. I think in the Andre Drummond situation, like, to me, if the conversation is, okay, we're looking to trade you, we're not going to play you, Like, we're just not going to play you. Okay, that's cool. Don't even let him show up for shoot-arounds then. Just let him stay home. That's why I'm talking about in the Pistons situation with Blake Griffin. They just said, listen, you want to leave. We want you out. We're going to work on something. Just go home. Just go home and do your thing. And then when we figure something out, we'll let you know. And that's cool. I think that's okay. You know, yeah, it does kind of suck when, you know, you got players like, you know, he talked about Bookie Cousins finding out, like, when he got traded, like, during an interview and, like, things like that. And, like, that's unacceptable. And Elaine's situation of, like, how she was texting a player doing her job, and that's how that player found out got traded. It didn't even know. That's insane. And is some of this the media's fault? Sure, yeah, the media can spin things, and you guys are 100% correct on that. I also just think it's, there is a respect level that needs to be met, but there's also an understanding of there are levels to this when it comes to that. You know, Russell Wilson, who doesn't speak very often, he constructs everything he says very precisely. And when he went on the Dan Patrick show and he was kind of like, yeah, I mean, maybe. Like, it could happen. Who knows? Like, the possibility of being traded. Everybody was like, oh, no. If Sam Darnold or Carson Wentz or somebody go on there and they say, like, oh, yeah, we might be traded, everybody's like, yeah, okay. It's a level, right, to where you're at and the pull that you have and your star power, I guess you could say. So, and to Andre Drummond, like, you know, it's also that him and Blake Griffin, their style of basketball is dead. That's not the NBA anymore. The way they play the big position isn't the same. Andre Drummond's still going to go out here and get you like 17 points, like 12 boards, and it's going to look really good on his stat sheet. Very similar to how Russell Westbrook plays, BK's favorite player, how he plays the position is that he's going to go out there and get you all these stats, and that's going to be great, but that's not the NBA anymore. Like, that's just not how it goes. So it is difficult in this situation to see these guys and their contract situations and teams that paid for these fucking contracts, and now they're in a position where they're trying to move off of them. I do think there needs to be some type of level of respect, mutual respect between the two parties there. Because in the one extreme, you shouldn't be allowed to do what James Harden did. But at the same time, you also shouldn't, on the other side, just like, announce it to the media. The media then announces that they're being traded, and these players find out. Dwayne Wade talked about how one player he knew found out at a gas station because some fan came up to him and told him, and like, that's just insane to me.
It reminds me of the situation, you know, go back to like ECU here when the football coach, they let Ruffin McNeil go, is an older football coach, and they had the press release ready, and they shot out the press release before he'd even walked out of the office after he got fired, and he couldn't tell any of his staff, any of his assistant coaches, not even his coaches on recruiting visits. And so guys were football recruiters for ECU were having meetings with players and their families, and the player would be like, hey bro, like, do you still have a job? Like, that's unacceptable. And so that's where, you know, and I think you brought up a great point, the whole mutual respect. I think it's like no one's blameless, you know, like it's a little bit of everything. Like, everyone needs to be better and respect each other more, and then usually things will go smoothly.
100%. Elaine, thank you very much for the voicemail. Of course, guys, if you want to be a part of the show and you want to leave a voicemail or text the show, it's 815-556-9089. You can leave us questions for the sports shows, the gaming shows, the weebisodes, whatever you want to talk about. Let's do it. So go ahead and interact with the show there. Let's move on to baseball. I just want to point out, this is really just for myself to bring up because I was going to forget, but we do a fantasy basketball league, right? Well, obviously we do a fantasy football league. That's different, but we do a fantasy basketball league as well. And it was brought up, like, oh, we could do a fantasy baseball league. So I'm down. If everybody's down, anybody wants to join, let us know. Tweet us at AMNationPod. You'll get an invite. You can play fantasy baseball with us. I can promise you that no one's really going to check their lineup that much. That's okay, though. And it's cool.
Yeah, I'll probably check mine.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Cool. Well, I mean, fine. All right. I guess Pete will then. So watch out for Pete because he's going to try. Yeah. Also, good news here for baseball. Tryhard. He is a tryhard. Jake Arrieta is back with the Cubs. Pete.
Let's go. Jake's back. Let's go. We're going to win Central now. We got Jake. Let's go. Cy Young winner right there. Let's go.
former Oreo.
I'm hyped. I mean, I'm so hyped.
Good. I'm glad.
I didn't care if he stinks. I'm just glad he's back.
Jake the Snake Arrieta. David, are you hyped for Jake Arrieta to come back to the Cubs?
I mean, we definitely need some more pitching help since we got, which is odd because, you know, like we got rid of Arrieta to get fucking Darvish.
So, Darvish, yeah.
So basically now we're like flip flopping back and they're like, let's revert that. So I'm for it. Like if we get, you know, a hint of old or just like part of the old, I mean, I'll be happy for it. I mean, it'll be great.
It's a good low risk, higher. It could be a high reward kind of thing. Like it's fine for the Cubs in that definitely. Way.
For sure.
Also, just a touch, but Jake Arrieta was a former Oriole, so it's pretty dope.
No, I saw him pitch a few opening days. Nice, dude. Definitely.
Yeah. Now this other last MLB story. David found this, and it says Randy Johnson. Right? Would keep a bag of baseballs next to his bed in case someone broke into the house. David, would you like to elaborate on this?
I'm going to tell you right now, if you broke into his house and he threw a 100-mile-per-hour fastball at your fucking face with a baseball, yeah, you're probably going to die.
look like that bird. Remember that pit, the bird exploded?
Yeah.
He'll be like one of those, like, here, it's a gun-free sticker on the door, but, you know, it's fucking...
He's throwing gas.
He's throwing fucking bullets at you, basically, of baseballs. So, man, that's the fuck. And then on top of that, he's probably going to be closer, like, point blank, like, in a staircase or some shit. Oh, like, you can't even dodge it because you're in the stairwell or something. You're like, you're dead.
He's a lefty. He's a southpaw, so it's gonna come in at a weird angle. You're not gonna know. Like, nope. It's probably dark.
You're done. You know what I just picture like Elf, and he's just like throwing the snowballs, and he's just fucking chucking fucking baseball.
Oh shit! Andy Johnson out here, man. What a stud! Absolute unit. Just says I don't even need a gun. I got a bag of baseballs next to my bed. That's fine. Try me. I'm like, no, I'm good, sir. Because your point is he's left-handed. That's true. That ball's going to come at you kind of fucking weird. If you're not ready for that, you're screwed. Like, you're so screwed.
I mean, on top of that, you're going to see this big-ass giant shadow on top of that. Oh, true. Fucking tall.
He's 6'10". He's 6'10".
Holy shit. Is that Bigfoot?
I mean, people joke about, you know, here's the gun show. Literally, the dude has a gun, you know, in his left arm. I mean, that's a literal gun that he already has. He's already got the ammo right next to him. Like, you're done.
Dude's a stud. Absolute unit. I love it. Shout out to Randy Johnson, bro.
Big unit there. Yeah, it's a big unit. I like how you did that. I don't know if you meant to do it on purpose.
Oh, I did. You know. I did.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Randy Johnson. That's awesome. Miscellaneous sports news here. That was really hard to say for a second. So fan-controlled football started off this week, a.k.a. the FCF. Honestly, the only reason that I knew about this first off is because I'm a fan of Kinda Funny and all their content. And they co-own a team with a running back from the Los Angeles Chargers, Austin Eckler. They've been hyping it up, and I'm like, oh, okay, dude, I don't know what this is, but, like, fuck it, bet. It's on Twitch. You can watch it. Like, that's cool. I'm down. And then they announced Johnny Manziel joined the league. He's on the Zappers. And, there's four teams in this league. They all play down in Georgia. It's Duluth, I believe, Georgia, at some arena down there. I think it's the field's 50 yards, I want to say. There's absolutely zero kicking. None whatsoever. The extra point rule is super dope. It's kind of like, because it's really small. I almost feel smaller than arena football. So I understand, like, the fuck's the point? What's the point of a kicker being there when the field's only 50 yards deep? You know what I mean? Like, there's no point for that. But the extra point rule is kind of cool. Like, you have a corner and a receiver lined up next to each other. So let's picture this, right? Let's picture Jalen Ramsey, Davante Adams, Rodgers is under center. There's nobody in front of them. There's no other defense, right? All you can do, Rodgers has to step back and throw it. And it becomes a one-on-one, Adams and Ramsey. That is how the, like, two-point conversion or whatever works in fan-controlled football. It's weird, but it's different, and it makes it something for you, I guess, to stand out. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, played on Saturday. He was 1 for 5 for 11 yards. Garbage. But he did have a rushing touchdown, and then they lost the game. And after the game, he said, "Win or lose, we still booze, baby." And I was like, "That's my fucking boy. That's Johnny fucking Manziel." They both the games were really high scoring. They came down to the end. It was kind of fucking cool. Marshawn Lynch is a co-owner of a team. And he's one of the co-owners of a team. And he was like, jumped on commentary, and he's like, randomly talking about this. They're like, "Oh, what are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I'm eating this Caesar salad, man. You know, but then I eat this salad, and then it makes me take a shit after." And I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" So I was into it, letting Marshawn be Marshawn. He's just, "I gotta take a shit. I'm here so I don't get fined." Kind of funny is Austin Eckler's team, the Wild Aces, knocked off Richard Sherman and Quavo's team, the Glacier Boys. I don't know, man. It's kind of cool. If you get bored on a Saturday, fans get to pick plays. So the way it kind of works is you log in, you link your Twitch account to your fan-controlled football league account, right? You go in there, and they'll give you – it kind of looks like if you're playing Madden and you want to, like, you want run, pass, or something else. You click it, right? You vote on it. And then if say you click pass, which I'm sure most people pick pass. And then they have like 3 or 4 plays you could choose from to vote for pass. So it's not going to be like some wild shit where everybody's doing flea flickers and shit. But it's kind of cool. I watched a little bit of it. Oh, this is dope. This will fill the void until the XFL eventually comes back. This is fine. Johnny Manziel, though, fucking gunslinger out there, 1 for 5. That was my favorite part about it. So check out the Fan Control Football League if you're bored. Go ahead, dude. Check it out. It's on Saturdays on Twitch. Make sure you look that up.
Cleveland Brown great, Johnny Manziel?
Cleveland Brown great. Yeah, I was going to say Texas A&M great, but yeah, Cleveland Brown great, Johnny Manziel.
100%. I mean, can't see why Johnny didn't make it in the NFL. Can't really see why.
Can't see it. Don't see it.
Nope.
Could be all the booze. He definitely said he felt out of shape. But he did say he was having a lot of fun, and that was, like, his big thing. He's like, "It was just really fun to play." But he definitely felt out of shape, and I was like, "Yeah, I bet, dude. I bet. It's all the booze and drugs."
Breaking on the sideline.
It probably is. Probably is.
Yeah. Getting
hammered. That's fucking cool. For any NASCAR fans out there, Michael McDowell won his first Cup Series race after a fiery crash right on the last lap. But the best part, the absolute best part about this is Ross Chastain. He was a driver. There was a long rain delay.
5 hours.
Yeah, 5 hours there. And so Ross Chastain decided, "I'm going to go pick up some Panda Express," through the drive-thru. So in this article I have here, you can actually see him. Like, he came out of like his Hans Devices like race suit. And his wife took a picture of him at the Panda Express ordering drive-thru for himself in between races. And if this doesn't make you like NASCAR drivers, I don't know what will. Because this is fan-fucking-tastic. His man said, "Fuck it, I'll go myself and pick up Panda Express." Absolutely.
Wait, did he pick up Panda or was it McDonald's?
It looks like Panda. Yeah, looks like Panda.
Apparently, he did a McDonald's commercial where he was like picking up something.
Now I'm seeing it here.
Yeah, so the article is a commercial. Yeah, the article says McDonald's, but when you actually look at the picture, it's why I posted, that's definitely Panda Express.
Yeah.
So
it says "Welcome to Panda," and I can see the Panda stuff on the menu.
Yeah, there's
a McDonald's commercial.
Yeah. He was 14th in the race, and then it was delayed, and he's like, "You know what? Fuck it, dude. I'm gonna go get some Panda." And then, oh yeah, there it is. Yeah, there's the McDonald's commercial now. You are correct. That is fantastic.
That's what I saw.
That is fantastic. Shout out to NASCAR. Look at that. Just like, hey, fuck it. It's like if there was a rain delay, right? Let's go back to the Cubs Indians World Series, right? Rain delay, and you know, Brian and Rizzo are like, "Yo, let's go to fucking get some grilled cheese or something, whatever y'all do out there in Cleveland, right? Melts or something, right?" And that melts.
It's not like it's a different like
ice cream.
Or no, or they might go for ice cream.
I'm trying to think like by the stadium. I mean, I don't know where they would go.
Well, they go to some fucking sports bar over there, right? Like, "Hey man, let's go get some food and tie one on real quick." Fantastic.
Should we get Molly's feelings on that World Series?
Nope.
Should we get her opinion real quick on it?
Nope.
Yeah, we probably should. We should probably get some, you know, because then we can get the other side perspective.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, it's great. Yeah, let's get the other side. Yeah. That's fantastic.
It'd be good for content.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, you have to show both sides of the argument.
That would be a show where it will be Pete on one side and Molly on the other, and I will moderate. And be like, so what was your thoughts on this World Series?
Yeah.
Rough. Daniel Berger with the walk-off eagle on the final hole of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I thought that was really fucking cool. What a way to end it. Also, I love that golf gives us the Pebble Beach right after we finish the Super Bowl, because everybody's kind of sad, right? You're like, fuck, dude, it's the first Sunday, no fucking football, it fucking blows. You're probably cold, right? Like most of the country is, except BK right now. Everyone's fucking freezing. But then you get to look at this beautiful Pebble Beach, and you're just like, ah, yeah, that's nice. That's fucking cool. That's what I like. If you're into that, there it is. And also, fans will be allowed at the Australian Open events this coming weekend, just in time to see American tennis GOAT Serena Williams take on Naomi Osaka. It's gonna be fucking cool. If you're in the tennis, which I know I am, it's gonna be fucking dope. That's the GOAT, Serena fucking Williams. One of Major while she's pregnant, for Christ's sakes. But we're gonna talk about Tom Brady. Fucking pieces of shit, man. Pieces of shit.
Is that the final event, or is that just like semifinal?
Semifinal. Yeah. That's the semifinal.
I know they're usually pretty high ranked, so it's something faced each other in the championship.
Yeah. Oh, solid question.
Yep. Semifinals for the Australian Open this coming weekend. So that would be dope. Of course, Australia able to have fans because they handle COVID really well. So shout out to them. Way to go. NFL news here to wrap up the show. Ryan Succop, right? He was the kicker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He actually, I did not know this, was the first Mr. Irrelevant, which is obviously the last player picked in the draft, to win a Super Bowl. That's kind of weird. Here I was thinking it might have been Jordan Lynch of the Colts, but it wasn't. It wasn't, dude.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah. You know, think about that.
That there's that many Mr. Irrelevants, and now Ryan Succop is the first one. Yeah, it is. That's pretty crazy. I'm going to do the sad news. Yeah, I'm going to do the sad news, and then we'll end with the J.J. Watt stuff. So, rest in peace, obviously, to former Chargers and Bucks wide receiver Vincent Jackson. Found dead in a hotel room at 38 years old the other day. That was super sad. It was also just crazy because after one of the shows, BK has been working on a bunch of breakdowns for football positions, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, for upcoming shows when we run out of content. We don't know what to do because we really don't fuck, dude. I really don't want to talk about the fucking Blackhawks and Capitals anymore. So besides that, we could do these breakdown shows. And David was there too, and we're talking about receivers, and we're he said, oh, man, who's that San Diego Chargers receiver? And I'm like, Keenan Allen? I'm like, no, before Keenan Allen. I'm like, oh, man, I know this dude. And it was Vincent Jackson. And that's so crazy that we just talked about him, and then that happened. That was super sad. Also, Tom Seipel, I want to say that's how you pronounce it, Cleveland Browns super fan, was battling cancer, passed away on Saturday. In a little bit of more positive news, Ariel Young, she was the 5-year-old who was injured during that crash involving Britt Reed, Andy Reid's son, right before the Super Bowl, has come out of her coma after 11 days. So that's really good news. Hopefully she continues on a good path there to a full recovery after that. Trevor Lawrence is having had surgery on his non-throwing shoulder. Everything he said went fine. That's good to see. Because he's going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar, so hopefully his shoulder's good. Eagles are expected to trade or cut Zach Ertz. We'll kind of see how that goes moving forward, whether they try to package that with Wentz or not. I'm not sure. But to wrap up the show here, J.J. Watt mutually parts ways from the Texans. They let him go. BK, where would you like to see J.J. Watt?
Obviously with the Ravens. Duh. That's where I would like to see him.
Where do you think he's likely? Go? No.
I don't think he goes to the Ravens because he'd have to. Yeah, he won't have to take vet minimum, but. I don't know. It depends. Like, is he trying to win or does he want to get paid?
Well, if he's going for the vet minimum, wouldn't he just go to Pittsburgh to play with his brother?
Yeah, I was like, exactly. Yeah, well, play with both of his brothers.
Yeah, Derek's there too. That's right. Derek's there.
Yes, and they're both on the Steelers, which I feel like people are like forgetting about.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, P2's Packers make a lot of sense because, like, they're right on the cusp. The whole family's from Wisconsin.
So bunch of cheese eating motherfuckers.
They're close by, so we can go home, see the fans. All that stuff. So, like, honestly, that one,
you know, if he doesn't go to the Ravens, I guess, like, well, I wouldn't mind going to P2's Packers.
Pete?
I mean, come on. Bring him to the green and gold, baby. Let's go. You imagine J.J. Watt coming back home. You got JJ on one end, and then you got Zendarius Smith on another end. Oh my God! This from this past season, those two had faced the most double teams from the edge of any edge rushers. You put those guys in the same line. Let's go! You talk about. I mean, let's look at why Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. That pass rush was nasty. You put JJ in there with Zendarius Smith and Rashawn Gary, who came on late, end of the year, played super well. The Packers are already moving around money. I think they were going to do that anyway with Bakhtiari's contract basically moving, I think freeing up like $8.5 million, basically moving into like the signing bonus, which is, you know, smart. Bakhtiari doesn't really care. You know, he's still getting paid. But, yeah, that would be the ideal spot. Or, I mean, for me personally. And then, I mean, it honestly might be the Browns. The Browns, I mean, are a possibility. If you look at J.J. Watt, you put him with Myles Garrett, I mean, that's an explosive defensive line too.
Yeah.
Or, obviously, you know, Pittsburgh's an option. But, like, I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to do with the cap. Yeah. You know, they got a lot of cap questions. But, I mean, a lot of NFL teams do have, you know, those cap questions too. So I mean, I'd love for JJ to go to the Packers, but another point I want to bring up though, like quickly for like the Texans, is like, I don't know why, like, as soon as JJ Watt was released, people were like, oh well, you know, why couldn't the Texans just do that for Deshaun? He wanted out, why can't they release him? I don't know, look at his contract. His dead cap just for this year is $67 million for Deshaun Watson. You know what J.J. Watts is for the Texans? Zero. That's why he's cut. Like, let's just think about it. Like, I think some dude on ESPN, I think, was bringing that up. He's like, oh, what you know, why can't Deshaun get released? I don't know, because he's in the prime of his career. That's why. Like, J.J.'s on the tail end. He's trying to chase a title. Like, come on.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I wasn't even going to say anything because I thought I was so pissed about it. But yeah, I saw someone tweet about that, and I was like, oh, fuck off. Like, don't do this. Right? Let's not do this now and make this a thing. Like, this is what happened is he's a veteran player. He's played for a long time. They can cut him and not lose any money. He said, okay, fuck it. There's no trade value for him right now. No one's going to give up a lot what they're going to do. Yeah, fuck it. It's not even worth it. He's been here for this long. He's committed to the Texans. Fuck it. Good to go. Go do your thing. You go chase your rings or whatever the fuck you're going to do. Where, like you said, Deshaun's situation, dude's 25 years old and getting ready to enter the prime of his career. Coming off of statistically maybe the best season out of all the quarterbacks this year, specifically when you go down to what he dealt with, he's playing with a bunch of fucking bums, like FCF players and XFL players, basically a bunch of bums he was playing with, right? And dude's out here, you know, they only got 4 wins, but Deshaun Watson was not part of the problem. He was fucking great. That's why you can't just fucking cut him, assholes. Christ.
Yeah, I had to bring that up because I was like, are you, like, I couldn't believe that was a thing. I mean, and we talk about like the dead air time, you know, after the, you know, the NFL's over with. I was like, no, this should not be a thing. Like, what are we talking about here? Right. But, you know, JJ Watt's probably just going to end up in Tampa. So, I mean, you know, just ring chase there, and it's going to, and, you know, everything's going to be pissed off, but everybody will talk about how great Tom Brady is. So, you know what? Sick of it.
I love the energy.
David, where would you like JJ Watt to go? Where do you and where do you think he's gonna go?
You know what's fucked up, right? I was literally just like, you know what? Tampa has salary cap. They like sure to bring in minimum value contracts. I'm like, Tampa almost looks like a perfect spot for him to go.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
When you look at that perspective, right? If he wants a ring and he's willing to play for the minimum, Tampa has the space, the cap space for it. They'll probably reach out to him for sure. I mean, because I'm pretty sure that defensive line was on contract, like 1-year contracts anyway. So they're all going to be doing the exact same shit, trying to rebuild that same thing. And then we've all touched on the other points, right? The Packers look nice, but they also have major cap issues with Pete already touched on. They've already tried to do something with their offensive lineman restructuring. They do have some free agents that they need to work on. I think some of your, like, I think maybe your second and third quarterback corners are like free agents. They definitely need to sign those. But downside was, I think they're coming out of their rookie contracts, right? So
yeah, well, you can get rid of them. They stink.
Yeah, they're
gonna want more money. Kevin King can kick rocks.
Yeah, but that's about it. But you're still like in the negative, which sucks, right?
Oh, for sure.
You would have to be, JJ would have to be like, okay, I'll take the bare minimum to go play at Lambeau and go home to Wisconsin. That works, right? And the same scenario for Pittsburgh, same thing. He has to play for the bare minimum because Pittsburgh's salary cap is fucking horrible.
Fucked up. Yeah.
And they have way more free agents than like Green Bay does, right? So Green Bay actually looks decent, at least from the free agent perspective. But they're at least under the cap. Or Pittsburgh's under the cap and they have all this fucking free agency that they need to fucking figure out. Yeah. So to be honest, they're probably not even thinking like, oh, let's call JJ up. They're probably like, oh, who the fuck's going to run our offense? Who's going to do all this shit, right? That they need to worry about. Yeah, that would make sense. Let's play with his brothers, everyone on one team. That'd be kind of cool. Who's not gonna lie and hate that, right? I do think the Browns do look like, I want to say they're probably the favorite, right? That would make that defensive line look nasty. Cleveland has the money to pay him more than the minimum. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. And then side note, can like NBC Chicago Sports
just let it go?
Writing.
Yeah.
Stop writing every fucking article. Oh, there's a free agent player. Number one odd. He's the favorite to go to the Bears. Shut the fuck up. All right.
Thank you.
The Bears are going to go to the
Bears. 2 weeks ago, yeah. Wentz, Watson's favorite to go to the Bears. Literally every fucking player's favorite to go to the Bears. All right. Who has that job? Because I could easily do that job. I mean, I'm fucking everyone's favorite to go to the Bears.
I'm just going
to
start doing it.
Fucking Baltimore and be like, everyone's favorite to go to the Baltimore Ravens. Yep, that's BK's job. And there you go.
I'm going to do it on every show.
Literally every fucking article I read. Oh, favorite to go to the Bears. Like, how?
That's like a Bulls situation. That seemed like, you know, the Bulls. Like, when the Bulls were, like, super good, it was like, oh, my God, the Bulls are going to get Melo. Like, when Melo was, like, dominant. Oh, my God. The Bulls are getting this free agent. Oh, my God. The Bulls are getting LeBron. Like, it's David's 100% right. It's Chicago media bullshit.
Yeah. Bulls. Like, I don't, like, nah, I'm not even, I don't even read the article anymore. Because the headline literally says they're, like, JJ's favorite to come to the Bears. Why? Because he fucking had a Portillo's beef? Shut the fuck up.
His wife does play for the Chicago women's soccer team here. Yes, that is also part of it, obviously. But, I mean, I would just tell her, honey, I ain't playing for that fucking Bears team. You got me fucked up.
See him going to the Colts. The Colts have a lot of cap space, It makes a lot of sense. They have the second most cap space, only behind the Jaguars. The Colts do. It's nearly $78.5 million.
And that's what's so they dangerous about them.
The Browns have 29.5, which is like barely more than the Ravens at like 29, to put in perspective. And they're both like 10 and 11. Yeah. So like,
and Tampa Bay has cap space too. That's why Tampa kind of like, if you're doing ring chasing.
They're at 12. It goes Browns at 10, Ravens at 11, Bucks at 12, at just nearly 28.
Well, like if you're ring chasing, really, it's looking like, you know, Ravens, Cleveland, Tampa. I mean, at least they went to the playoffs. You know, I'm not saying those teams are going to win, but I'm just saying they went to the playoffs. Obviously, Tampa's defending champs. They have the cap space. I mean, at this point, you're just trying to gamble at that, really, to pick which. I mean, the ideal situation would be like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to Kansas City. So, but you know, Kansas City salary cap is whew. So,
$18 million for Kansas City. So, like,
if
you're JJ, like, because I guarantee most teams are giving him a call, like, I would just wait and see how, like, almost like the draft and other things, like, shake out. And then I would go from there, honestly, if you're just ring chasing, just like let kind of some dominoes fall, because if a team really wants you, they'll set aside some money for you.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's like the Colts, they would need a quarterback first, I think, before they really made a pitch to, like, JJ, like, hey, you want to chase that ring? They would need to, like, do a Carson Wentz package or, you know, something along those lines, or draft, you know, Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or, you know, Trey Lance.
But it's still not even like, hey, I'm going to go there, you got a rookie quarterback type of ordeal, you know?
Yeah. That's
just guessing.
Did Ben won a Super Bowl?
Damn right he did. My biggest thing, I'd love that David brought up the Bears, because that's what I was going to do, is be like, please, just let it go. I'm fucking over it, okay? I don't care anymore. I don't give a fuck what this team does anymore, all right? I don't care. We're on a – this is like a lame duck session for the Bears. You got a GM and a coach. They're sitting there going, holy shit, our jobs are on the fucking line, and we got to figure something out. So we're going to make dumb, irrational moves. Because we're just going to try and go all in right here, right? You know, right now, you got an article came up, and this is on CBS Sports. Was it on Chicago's NBC Sports or anything? But Bears are the favorite to land Wentz. I go, no shit, because the Bears are so stupid that they'll overpay, right? The Colts said, we'll give you 2 second-rounders, supposedly. And the Eagles are like, no. They want this first-rounder so bad, and this stupid fucking Bears organization will be the ones to do it. And then it's like, you know, they have this idea they can fix Wentz. And yes, I do believe Wentz can be fixed. I honestly believe if Wentz goes to the Colts, like, you're going to see a somewhat closer to that level of that Wentz used to be at. I think he can, right? Because that's a perfect situation. It's Frank Reich. He's got a great offensive line. They're building weapons. Like, everything makes sense. Defense is great. Like, that's a perfect situation. Matt fucking Nagy's bald visor wearing ass isn't going to fix shit. You know what I mean? He's just not. Ryan Pace, let's remember, drafted Kevin White. Great scouting, everybody. Great job. Didn't even know his leg was fucked up. Didn't even know. Great job. You know, my Lord, I just let it go. Like, J.J. Watt, if he came to the Bears, would be some of the stupidest shit I've ever seen. I would personally like to be like, JJ, come on the show and explain to me why. Because it doesn't fit any of your criteria, what we assume you're looking for. No money, no Super Bowl contention. What's the point? Can you not tell?
My wife every weekend.
Like, you guys don't have to leave. Like, you guys get to stay home right here in Chicago. Like, that's super cool. But, like, go somewhere else. Just tell her sorry. You know what I mean? Put your foot down. Let her know. It ain't happening. All right? Like, it ain't. Sorry. Packers, obviously, yeah, make great sense if they can get the cap situation because they get to go home and they're contending. Obviously, they're right there, it feels like. Colts, great point. Browns and Ravens, yes. Those are two teams that made the playoffs and, you know, they've got the space to work with. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, why not? The rich get richer. Let's go. Going down there. And, he, you know, he's got all his fingers, so it's a little bit of an upgrade over JPP. So that's pretty cool. And then you look at Pittsburgh.
Cardinals have room, too.
Oh, there you go.
Cardinals have $19 million cap space.
I wouldn't want to have Cliff Kingsbury as my coach. Oof. He's got a nice house, though. Nice fucking house, though. Shout out to him.
He probably knows a few guys that can make a few phone calls, maybe a few threatening phone calls. They probably have Randy Johnson who can just show up there and just huff in the fucking baseball bat to threaten you to sign.
There it is. And then obviously, yeah, Pittsburgh, man. His brother's there.
He stays in Texas and just goes to Dallas. Watch that be the...
No, that'd be awful.
They can afford him.
That'd be so gross. I mean, it's
stupid. They don't want to pay Dak, so yeah, they have money.
Oh, that's true, too. But Pittsburgh also, obviously, yeah, makes a ton of sense. If they could figure out a way to get him in there with the cap situation. The cap is the only thing that's obviously, I think, stopping Pittsburgh, because I think otherwise that feels like a lot of a no-brainer. Yes, I mean, the team made the playoffs with a defense that was completely injured at that point besides TJ and Fitzpatrick. I mean, those were the only two that basically stayed healthy. You get that defense coming back. It would suck, though, if it means that you're going to lose Bud Dupree. Because I'd rather find a way for them to keep Bud Dupree than bring in J.J. Watt, to be honest. But, you know.
I would like them to lose Bud Dupree. That's fine.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would.
I'm okay with that.
But I just think that would make, obviously, a ton of sense. Brothers are there. That'd be really cool to see. Obviously, three brothers on the same team. That's dope. Yeah, I mean, God, you know, Lord willing, they went and go out there and win it. And then the three brothers get to win together. That's super fucking cool. I also like the Packers situation, except it involves the Packers, you know. I mean, player going home and winning would be cool, but it just can't be Green Bay. That's all.
Bring him home.
He said bring him home. So we'll see what happens with J.J. Watt. To BK's point, I do believe it probably is going to take some time here. You got to let everything, you know, start to settle and go. We're about, what, a month away until the official start of the next NFL season begins. And then we should probably start seeing – moves flying off the handle. So until then, we'll see what happens. As always, you can find the show on Twitter and Instagram. It's at AMNationPod. Make sure you hit that follow button. On YouTube, search Amalgamation Nation and hit that sub button. On podcast platforms of choice, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, and more. Make sure you check us out on there. Follow, like, rate, all that good stuff. For merch, it's teesprings.com/store/AMNation-UndeadRedBull. You can also find it on our pinned tweet on Twitter, at AMNationPod. Down below in the Twitch link at twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull. It's down below in the description. And in the podcast, it's also down below there as well. If you want to be a part of the show, leave a voicemail or text the show at 815-556-9089. Sports show, gaming show, weebisodes, whatever. Let us know what you want to talk about, what you want us to talk about, and we will get into it. We're back here Thursday for a gaming show. Got a lot of gaming news and such to get into. I think that about wraps it up. Anything else before we go? No?
No. Nope.
Alrighty, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. As always, be safe. Everybody stay warm as well. It includes you, BK, this weekend. Everybody stay warm and stay breezy.